I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, July 1st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Well, summer is definitely here. Air conditioners are on, and parts of the western U.S. are suffering record-high temperatures. So it's pretty clear that the stability of the nation's electric grids is more crucial than ever. Now, the White House is pushing grid operators to beef up their protections against cyber attacks. On today's show, our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti will explain what's being done to protect crucial infrastructure in the U.S. That's coming up after these headlines. The new chairwoman of the Federal Trade Commission, Lina Khan, made a name for herself in antitrust scrutiny, in part by criticizing Amazon. Now, the e-commerce giant wants Khan to recuse herself from the agency's antitrust investigations of the company. The commission is looking into Amazon's business practices, and it recently secured the right to review the company's plan to buy Hollywood studio MGM. Yesterday, Amazon filed a motion seeking Khan's recusal from such probes, saying she couldn't consider the company's defense with an open mind. An FTC spokesperson declined to comment. Robinhood agreed to pay nearly $70 million to resolve sweeping regulatory allegations that the online brokerage, known for its popular trading app, misled customers, approved ineligible traders for risky strategies, and didn't supervise technology that failed, locking millions out of trading during the height of the meme stock frenzy earlier this year. As part of the settlement, Robinhood neither admitted nor denied the allegations against it. Shares of the Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi rose on their first day of trading yesterday, closing slightly above their IPO price of $14. While several other Chinese companies' public offerings have faltered in recent weeks, Didi was able to buck that trend. It's a signal that investors are willing to overlook some risks for the promise of high growth. We've been following the ongoing shortage of semiconductors that's been squeezing the auto industry. The latest, Ford says it'll close several U.S. factories through much of July and cut output at others. Some auto executives had hoped the second quarter would mark the worst period for the supply problem, but the new closures signal the chip shortage will continue to affect the industry well beyond. And federal regulators will now require companies to report serious crashes involving advanced driver assistance and automated driving features within a day of learning about them. Manufacturers and operators will also have to issue broader monthly reports about their vehicle safety. Regulators say the goal is to help investigators identify patterns in automated driving crashes. The shift follows growing concern over the role that systems like Tesla's autopilot have had in recent crashes. Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. All right, coming up, after a series of disruptive cyber attacks, the U.S. is working to shore up its critical infrastructure. So how's it coming along? We'll find out after the break.
I'm Manveen Rana, the host of Stories of Our Times, the daily podcast from The Times and The Sunday Times. Every weekday, we look at one big story in depth. From the aftermath of the Beirut explosion to the storming of the U.S. Capitol. USA! We take you to the heart of the stories that matter with exclusive access and reporting.
There's another side to this. There's another story.
It's published for the start of your day, and you can listen for free on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stories of Our Times.
In the last several months, we've seen an increasing number of attacks by cyber criminals. These attacks have paralyzed one of the nation's key oil pipelines, stopped meat production at the world's largest meat supplier, and forced hospitals to pay ransoms in order to keep patient records safe. In the face of this growing threat, the Biden administration is stepping up efforts to ensure priority entities, including electricity grids, have the tools to spot attacks in advance. Joining us to discuss where these efforts stand right now is our reporter David Uberti, who covers cybersecurity for the Journal and is a regular guest of the show. Hi, David. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Zoe. Thanks for having me.
You've been on the show a number of times to talk about cyber attacks. Now I guess we're talking about cyber defense. Why is the government starting with electricity utilities, and how does it fit in to the broader efforts?
Well, the reason the White House gives as zeroing in on electric utilities first is that it affects every facet of our lives. Basically, keeps the economy running, keeps my day-to-day household up and running. In any sort of wide-ranging cyber attack on an electrical grid could have incredible consequences across our personal lives and economic activity in the United States. So the Biden administration, when evaluating different sectors of what they call critical infrastructure to the U.S., they zeroed in on the electric grid for that reason. And what they've announced in recent days is that about half of what they term priority companies within the electrical grid have begun installing really critical software to help detect hacks. In addition to going sector by sector across U.S. infrastructure in the hope of getting private companies to step up, the Biden administration has also rolled out an executive order in the hope of improving cybersecurity of federal contractors. And it's also working more aggressively with international partners, both in terms of sharing information and intelligence about cyber threats, tapping into capabilities that each specific country might have, and then also trying to up the pressure on adversarial nations, particularly nations like Russia, which are thought to provide safe harbor to a lot of these hacking groups that carry out these attacks.
Let's talk about what's at stake. It's now July. There's a historic heat wave in parts of the U.S. How much damage, not just to businesses, but to lives, could we see if steps aren't taken to secure the power grid?
Well, it's really difficult to, put a fine point on it. But, I would say with the disruption we had in Texas a few months back, just with system being sort of overdrawn with electricity, that does give you a sense of what could happen in a really worst case scenario. And that's oftentimes what cybersecurity experts point to with these situations. Now, the electric grid in the U.S., there's no one electric grid. It is comprised of hundreds, if not a few thousand, different utilities across the country. Some of them are extremely small. So with the Biden administration now, the action that they're taking and encouraging some of those larger companies in particular, the 250 largest of those utilities across the country, those are the ones they really want to zero in on. So in announcing that some of these recent steps in terms of deploying additional cybersecurity tools have been taken, the White House said the other day that these utilities cover 56 million customers across the United States. So that gives you a sense of the big chunk of the electric grid that we're talking about.
Looking at how the administration's efforts are progressing, so far they say about half of the 250 priority entities among electric grids have taken steps or are going to take steps. Can you tell us about the other half? What's causing some of this reluctance?
Well, yeah, I think first, to your question, it's important to note that, some companies have already, put some of these tools in place to basically give them an early detection, early response capability within their computer systems. Others have said they're going to do so. Now, the open question there is how long that will actually take. With the other half of companies or, nonprofits in certain instances that are these electric utilities, some of them are still on the fence. And I spoke to some folks who are affiliated with rural electricity cooperatives in recent days, and they said that one of the big reasons that companies haven't done this to this point is just a dollars and cents issue. So what they're actually waiting for is whether Washington will provide some sort of financial incentive for them to actually install some of these tools.
And explain that to us a little bit. What are the actual steps or measures these utilities are taking to protect their systems?
Well, with any sort of industrial company, you have two main areas that you need to protect in terms of cybersecurity. One is information technology. Now, that's what you or I might use in the office. We log in through, say, a Microsoft product. That's an IT system that oftentimes runs through office spaces. Now, with industrial firms, they have a separate sector called operational technology. Now, this is what you might have in the middle of a factory in terms of, machines that produce goods or digital devices that help, say, oil go through a pipeline or electricity, you know, go out to your household. So essentially what the Biden administration is asking companies to do is deploy some technology that allows them to see threats between those two areas in the hope of trying to prevent an attack on an IT system from jumping into an OT system, which in many cases is much more difficult to respond to and much more expensive to respond to.
You know, as we talked about earlier, these steps to secure the electric utilities are just one part of the Biden administration's plan. But can they really replicate the steps they're taking here for other sectors?
The White House certainly hopes to replicate this across other sectors. And the next two areas they really want to zero in on are pipelines. As we saw, the Colonial Pipeline hack was momentarily devastating for fuel in the U.S. And then secondarily to water facilities and treatment sectors. So White House officials have said they want to learn from this process with the electric utilities and try to sharpen it over the course of time as they go through different sectors that make up U.S. infrastructure, most of which is privately owned, which is a big and very noteworthy difference from many other countries.
You know, that's a really interesting point. We're seeing these private businesses being threatened by cyber attacks, but of course they have very public consequences, like we saw with Colonial Pipeline. So what's the debate around whose responsibility it is to prevent against cyber attacks?
Right. I mean, this sort of gets into how cybersecurity and hacking really blurs a lot of lines that haven't been blurred before. You know, like I said, it's about 90% of what is called critical infrastructure in the United States is actually privately owned. And one of the sort of rhetorical shifts and philosophical shifts the U.S. government has been trying to make in recent years is sort of bring those companies into the fold when it comes to national security. So that could be requiring them to do more, actually installing new security measures and potentially imposing costs if they do, you know, have lax measures in place, and then also supporting them to a greater extent. And that's either through financial incentives, but in a large part of that is also sharing information with them. The government has authorities that no private company has, so they can collect information by themselves and then also gather information from allies in terms of cyber threats and then pass that along to private companies.
That's our reporter, David Uberti. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Zoe.
Well, that's it for today's tech news briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review us. You can do it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.